The Oracle Network.
We're all in this together! We're gonna have the happiest Christmas since Bing Crosby tap danced with Danny fucking K. Hallelujah! Holy shit! Where's the Tylenol?
Happy holidays, everybody, and welcome to Brew Crime, the podcast where we drink brews and talk crime, conspiracies, and whatever catches our attention. This is JT and my co-host.
I am Mike. You might know me from other episodes like The Whiskey War.
It was the best war. It's the only war I support.
And this Happy Holiday case, just to get your attention, I named it Fucking Ninjas.
And then I'm in immediately. Like, you mentioned ninjas, I'm all about it.
Yeah. So imagine this. It's sometime between 1 a.m. and 2 a.m. on September 18th, 2021. In Inyokern Airport in Kern County, California, located in the Mojave Desert. You are a Special Forces Staff Sergeant, part of the 160th Special Operations Aviation Regiment, or SOAR, and you are outside the hangar having a smoke for whatever reason.
What I read is, I'm working with aliens.
Yeah. Now, of course, out of nowhere, a dude pops out of the shadows in a fucking ninja costume and starts berating the Staff Sergeant, quote, "Do you know who I am?" After the staff sergeant said no, the man asked, "Do you know where my family is?" Of course, the answer again would be no, because who the fuck is this guy? And now, who would have ever guessed this guy would have a bloody katana stashed away in his costume, and he would pull it out and initiate an attack?
Oh my god!
Yes.
It's Beverly Hills Ninja 2.0.
Exactly. Unfortunately for the staff sergeant, he was unarmed and had no way to fight back. The ninja would hit his phone as well as his knee and his leg. Being wounded, he would take off running, where he would end up jumping a fence and heading into an administration building.
Oh.
Yeah.
First off, let me just stop us right there. I now question what the class contains in hand-to-hand combat now, because at some point you won't have something, you got your hands. How did this not work for him?
It's still a full katana, Mike.
I mean, okay, Mike.
So, pretty bloody impressive, really, as if he was hitting the knee and the leg, I can't see running, let alone jumping over a fence, being easy.
I can't see running right now, and I'm sitting here talking to you.
Yeah, exactly. That's probably because we've had beer.
That's true.
Once inside the building, he would dash around making sure all the doors were locked, and he would run into a captain. The two would be holed up inside when the ninja started kicking and banging on the door, trying to make his way inside.
He thought it was a 7-Eleven bathroom.
Yeah. They would get on the phone, call the local police, the Kern County Sheriff's Office. As they were waiting, the ninja would run off and find a chunk of asphalt to throw through the window.
Jesus.
The chunk of asphalt would sail through the window and hit the captain square in the head.
Not exactly a throwing star, my dude.
But now they're both injured.
This is ridiculous. This is embarrassing.
This is when the ninja would know the gig was up, and he would take off running.
What is your definition of ninja? Hold on.
Ninja costume katana. Ninja.
Okay.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's it right there.
He fulfills it.
Finally, police would arrive on the scene and try to figure out what the fuck was going on. They would locate the katana-wielding ninja and try to get him to comply with their demands, but he was not interested in listening.
No kidding.
They would shoot the man with non-lethal rounds after he started to wave his sword in the air, because that is what you do when the cops show up, right?
I was going to say, they shoot him. Yeah, that checks out for the U.S., but at least it was non-lethal.
Yeah. But this guy could give two shits, and even after being hit with non-lethal rounds, he fucked off and made a run for it.
Oh my god. What is going on?
Now, of course, the police didn't give up and they tasered him and he dropped his sword.
Yeah, I mean, I probably would drop a lot more than just a sword. I'd need to change my pants.
Yep. This made it possible for the police to finally make the arrest. The man in the ninja suit was 35-year-old Gino Riviera, and he would be charged with attempted homicide, assault with a deadly weapon, brandishing a weapon with the intent to resist or prevent an arrest, vandalism, and instructing a peace officer in the discharge of their duties.
Now, here's my question. He pulled out the katana the first time, and there was already blood on it. What the fuck?
Yeah, exactly. Maybe it's like a PG-13 Disney movie where the blood disappears.
Or just a really bad video game that has to render all the time.
True. At the time of writing, they still had not found out what his motivation was for the attack, because this happened this year, right? Luckily, both of the unarmed Special Force guys would be okay, as they both only needed to have some stitches and would both end up back on active duty not long after the attack. God. But I do find it funny that the 160th Special Operations Aviation Regiment, SOAR, dubbed Night Stalkers due to their proficiency for nighttime operations, were not able to fight off a man who was playing a ninja with likely no training. I guess he is lucky he brought a katana to a fist fight. Otherwise, he would likely be dead right now, as Special Forces guys don't fuck around.
I guarantee you they have never heard the end of it.
I'm sure.
Let me just say this. I did a very quick search for this group, and they employ highly modified Chinook, Blackhawk, and assault and attack configurations of Little Bird helicopters. They're not unable to defend themselves.
No, yeah. These are badass motherfuckers. They are. So it just makes it so much funnier, the fact that this fucker that's just some nobody was able to wear a Halloween costume and a katana, basically.
He jumped and he said, "I'm a ninja." It's hysterical.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning into this episode. If you want to check out our sources, go to brewcrime.com. If you want to find us on social media, go to brewcrime. If you want to support us, go to patreon.com/brewcrime. The money goes towards upgrading equipment, making the show better. And the Patreon supporters get one free episode a month, the Half Pint of Crime, and our episodes ad-free. And if you want to support us for free, go to your podcast app and leave a review, because the reviews really help to get the word out there. So if all you can do for Christmas for us is leave us a review, please do.
All I want for Christmas is reviews. I went there.
All right. Cheers.
Bye.
All cases on Brew Crime are written by Mike and JT, or a writer we credit on the episode, and sources are put into our show notes for each episode. We always want to give credit to the people that research the cases we talk about. Check out our store at tpublic.com/stores/brew-crime-podcast, where you can purchase gear like t-shirts, phone cases, stickers, pillows, and all kinds of other cool stuff. Brew Crime's intro was created by Mike using Creative Commons Attribution Licensed Audio from purple-planet.com, soundbible.com, and freesoundeffects.com. Logo designed by Ben Greenberg. Thanks for listening to this episode of Brew Crime Podcast.